All right, so I am very excited today to have Reverend Vern Norton and his wife Mary here with us. He's been up here before, and for those of you that may have not have heard him, I think everybody here has. I love Vern because Vern loves people. I love, because that wasn't me. I didn't love people. But when I can see Vern and when I can hear him speak and I can hear the compassion that he has when he talks about people, that's a God thing. That's a God thing, because he's done the same thing in my life, and so I just recognize it, and I love it, and it blesses me so much to hear Reverend Vern speak. So we're in for something good today, but I would just encourage you, be open and receive, amen? Reverend Vern.
Trying to locate right now what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and I got a leading to go, and I'm going to follow that. And I'd like to have you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 or 4 and verse 32. The Bible talks in Matthew chapter 24 about signs. And the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the signs of the times? And again, we're seeing a lot of signs that are going on in America and in the world. Last night there was a meeting at River Valley, and there was talk about demonstrations of the Spirit with power from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And again, when demonstrations of the Spirit come, now listen carefully, they're encapsulated in the love of God. That wasn't said last night. And when I was sleeping last night, I woke up and I had to change my message because he talked about the encapsulation of God's love. And there's so much in the love of God that very few people know the depth and the knowledge or the breadth and length and depth of it, because the love of God passes all knowledge. But when you're in a service and that scripture is quoted, understand that every demonstration that comes out, whatever it may be, will be led by love first. Not by any human being, not by any orator of a pastor or a speaker. It's led by the love of God and the purity of that love. We're in a time of offense in America. I'm going to say it again. We're in a time of offense in America. Politically, school-wise, and almost every arena. But this arena is off limits to strife and division. The church will not tolerate it. I don't think of a more serious message right now to guide the church and to protect the church. For with inside the political realm right now, there's complete disunity. And I just spoke at another church, and again there was disunity over things like coronavirus, vaccinations, political realm. The church to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. What I'm looking at right now is people that are in the rural area of Minnesota. I have a daughter that works for the Minneapolis Police Department. And she called me from the third precinct the other night, the one that was burned. And she said to me, "Dad, you don't even understand what's going on here. There were shootings while she was on the phone." That's not here. That's in a different part, but we got to keep it out by the power of the word and the power of unity. You got a charge on you. You're the watchman on the wall like I am right now. We're all called to stand and not compromise to the things that are happening in the world. We need to keep America great by the word of God, the spirit of God, and the power of love. Because love is going to drive everything in the church now. Because from it comes all power. I've been in meetings where there's running people standing on their head and all the rest of it. And I've seen a lot in different places. But right now, everyone in this room needs the love of God, that because it has no end to it, no beginning, and it will match anything you need. It will keep you safe. You can hide in God's love, and it will protect you. The demonstration of the Spirit is God demonstrating to us His love, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. God so loved us that He'll help us in any situation if we'll come to Him. It's hard for me to comprehend that people can go through life, even in church, and really not absorb the love of God. If I take a sponge and put it in a pail, and that sponge is completely full of water, what will come out when I squeeze it? Come on, what will come out? Oil? Corned beef? If you're squeezed, what will come out of you? It should be the love to each other. We should be able to lay down our life for one another. I'm quoting you scripture. No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for a Christian, or even not a Christian. Verse 32, be kind one to another. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit's got to say that to us. It's interesting that He says to us Christians, be kind to one another. Forgiving one another. Offense, like He's talking about offense, is what's going on in America right now. Everything is being thrown into the arena of offense so division can come. And America can't stand, because the Bible says a house divided, it cannot stand. You're in la-la land if you think America can stand without Christ. We're in the greatest warfare in America's history. This is greater than the Civil War, greater than the War of Independence. This is the war for the soul of the church. And we're not going to fail. We can't fail, because the love of God is going to strengthen us for all the things that go on. God's going to pour out His love in a way that people have never understood before, in a way that God, only He can do it, because His ways are different than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. We're basically living in a time when the seriousness and the beauty at the same time of Christianity is going to shine in unusual ways on people who receive it. I'm a receiver. I'm a receiver. And so should you be, because this Bible I got here, the Bible is the answer to everything. The Bible should not be set down. It should be ingested. I like to be able to say that things are going to get better in the world, but they're not, according to Scripture. But in the church, things are going to shine so brightly and so uniquely different. That's what's going to bring in the lost. Amen. Because they're going to wonder, what is wrong, or what are they doing over there? Well, they're smiling, they're not fighting, they're loving each other. That's different what's going on. Me and Mary worked the street in St. Cloud this summer, and almost everybody we met, we almost had 100% winning with people this summer. Whatever we approached them in the power of the love, the power in the Holy Spirit, and we talked to them like brothers and sisters we haven't seen in 50 years. And they caved in to that love of Christ. They caved in to the Word of God, and they stepped over into eternity because of love. It's interesting how we go about our business, but again, business has been interfaced, so to speak, because of the coronavirus. We're starting to come out of it, but we're not coming out of the division that's going on in the Democratic and Republican Party and other facets of the political realm that are trying to affect the church. Right now in America, only 48% of the people believe that are Christians. In 1940, it was almost 80%. And I just heard the scripture statistics. And of the millennials, only 42% believe. Them are heavy-duty statistics about people. A lot of times when people in churches, and I come out of the Living Word, which is a big church, but if you take the percentage of people that have been hurt in other churches, a lot of times the offense is never dealt with because they're not understanding the love of God and the depth of it. There's nothing that love cannot heal as long as the person yields to the great physician. It's understand this, you can get a person that is offended that can go along, and the second they break their leg, they run to the physician to get it fixed, but they won't run to the great physician to get their mind fixed from offense. Amen. And he can fix it all. I've worked with psychologists and psychiatrists. They got their own place, but nobody I've ever seen, no power is greater than the love of God to repair an ex-convict, to straighten out my life, and to put it in a balance with his love. That's what God did for me. It's so important, brother and sister, we protect the unity and we protect the purity of the Word of God and the group of people we meet with, and we come together to get the love of God so we can still get strength from no other place. I got another scripture for you, and I'd like to have you turn over to 1 Thessalonians. chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. How many people knew who Norval Hayes was? Ever heard of him? Well, Norval Hayes told this story one time, and he was living in Cleveland, Tennessee, and he was fairly old, but he was out witnessing. And he walked up to this drugstore, and there was a young lady in the front of the drugstore, and he pulled out her track, and he said, "Young lady, do you know how much God loves you?" And she screamed, "I live in the valley of the damned. I live in the valley of the damned." And he said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "I used to be in church. I used to go to church. And I screwed up and I left the church." Norval Hayes was crying and he said, "You can come back, young lady. You can come back. God will take you back." And she said, "No, no, no. I live in the valley of the damned. He won't take me back." And he tried to talk to her. And she wouldn't listen. And she whirled around and walked away into the middle of the night and left Norval Hayes there weeping. Because he had to answer. He had to answer. The answer was love. The answer was forgiveness. The answer was she could come home to the Father like the prodigal son. I've witnessed in many places in the world, and I can honestly say I've never met anybody that was so far away from Christ that they couldn't be saved. Verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men." Do you believe that? Word of God is forever settled in heaven. "To the end that ye may be established in your hearts, unblameable, holiness in holiness before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." I look at a fence when I was sent to Red Wing in 1957 at 13 years old, and I was sentenced there till I was 21 years old, and I was maybe 100 pounds, and there was beatings and things there by the counselors and by other inmates that were a lot bigger. They could be 18 years old and 300 pounds, and it was one, and I could look back and I could be an offended person that would hate everybody and cause all kinds of problems for myself. But when I got saved, I looked back and I thought, Jesus could have been angry at everybody. They didn't treat him good that day, did they? And yet he turned around and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." All of this is coming back to protect the church, to watch over the church, to guard it. Because if offense can come in, it can spread like a cancer. "That ye may be established in your hearts, unblameable in holiness." Remember, everything that has a demonstration of the Spirit with power is going to be fueled by love first, because God is love. The demonstration is not to enhance a ministry or a church. It's to enhance the power of heaven. Because it's out of order if it enhances a minister or a ministry. It's everything is done to who? the glory goes to Jesus. It's so important that we get in tuned to what God says, because the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and we need to get that settled in our hearts. If you look at the people on the street, they're going to be watching how Christians handle what is coming down. The Supreme Court rules in different ways. If it rules against the church, it can't affect heaven. What ruling out of the Supreme Court can affect God? If you got something, I'd like to know. Because the effects of heaven are what we are to live by. The effect, heaven, it's so important that you understand this. Heaven is dictating to the earth, not the earth to heaven. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men. Now, another scripture says, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible because people are so cross. I went to the first American football team to play in Europe in 1988. There was 120 kids that were on that trip. I trained them at Crown College in street evangelism. There was different teams. There were volleyball teams, there was baseball teams. But I traveled with the football team. And the quarterback on that team, his father was Coach McCartney that started a group called Promise Keepers. And he was a graduate of San Jose State. And there was a number of other football players that were out of the festival. And these 23 men played both offense and defense and throughout Europe for 21 days. And the 120 kids argued for the first 2 weeks about spiritual gifts to the point they almost destroyed the trip. So one of the leaders who was on staff at Living Word at that time, he asked me, what are we going to do about this? Because they were fighting about the gifts of the Spirit. So we were in Rotterdam, Holland, and we were in a big room, and all the kids come together, all the teams come together. And I said, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I read the nine gifts out of there, and I said to the kids, if you believe God is a liar, tear that page out of your Bible or stop arguing. Stop causing dissension. And nobody ripped the page out of their Bible because they don't believe God lied. That's how you got to get a hold of division. You got to look at it, see what it's doing, and get it out. I've been so bold to say, if you're a division maker, what are you doing in church? You know, if people go to the doctor, we just had a friend that died from Living Word with a brain cancer. His wife was one of the main accountants at Living Word. And he went to the doctor to find out what was wrong with him. And the doctor told him, Warren, you got a brain cancer. The doctor didn't step aside and say you got a cold. He didn't say you had an ingrown toenail. He told the person right up, he told them without malice, without anything other than truth, he was going to die. A church that gets invaded with division may not stand. It will die. Now listen to this. If we have division in America, where are we going to go? And the message is God don't want the church to fail in America. God, the Mayflower Compact, everything to do with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Christians sat down and designed it. They weren't Marxists. They weren't communists. They were Christians. Our heritage is the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus. It's so important that we keep this in the forefront. At 78 years old, I want to go out flaming, not rusting out. Amen. And again, it's so important that you hear how important you are. I can't even state it. We're the body of Christ, and the head is in heaven, and we're doing the works. He said we would do greater works. Isn't that what he said? Again, I admonish you in a sense, when the Spirit gets to moving, it's a move of love. It's a move of demonstration of God's love for us and the Holy Spirit demonstrating the power of heaven here on earth to let us know his ways are higher than our ways and he does things different to glorify Christ. It's so important that you understand. Again, the Bible is our word from heaven. And our power from heaven. Turn over to James chapter 3. Verse 13. Everything is established by the testimony of two or three. In verse 13, it says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And that meekness of wisdom means conduct to be guided by a wise and gentleness. What he does is done with humility of wisdom. His good deeds are done in the humility of wisdom promotes. But there's a word but here. But if you have bitter and envying strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion at every evil work. But listen to this now in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercies, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in them that make peace. Basically, evangelism is being a peacemaker. Going to the street, we've been in some tough areas. We were right around the Capitol after they tore some signs, statues down, and you couldn't find a person on the street. When we go into the Hmong community, they were all locked down like they were in Fort Colorado to protect themselves from Native American Indians. It was absolutely fear everywhere. And it's even worse today. You know something about the rural area that's so different? Because we live in Sartell right now. And again, there's a freedom there. There wasn't the pressure of the inner city going on. But now you got to listen to this. What they do in Minneapolis and St. Paul as far as voting power, they got enough votes to take the whole state down with them because they got the numbers. What they do on Tuesday in Minneapolis, in as far as defunding, can affect everything in the whole country as far as the big cities go. But not out here. They haven't got out here yet. And you don't want them out here. That's why praying is the key, and unity. It isn't that we're out to hurt anybody. That's not what Christianity is about. But we're out to protect the kingdom of heaven and the power of freedom that America has paid the price for. When I did groups at Living Word, there was still a huge number of Vietnam veterans that were coming in there that were drinking their brains out, doping their brains out, because they still thought America hated them because of the Vietnam War. It was a tragedy because of what happened to the veterans. Most of them were Marines. I've seen them kill themselves, drink themselves to death because of the offense they took in because of being rejected. Tragedy. You know, you look at the scriptures, and I sit down and I'm reading them, and I can hug the Bible. I love the Bible. It's so important to me because I got a truth there. God cannot lie, so I got a truth there. When I did groups at Living Word, almost every group had 8 or 10 Pinocchios in there. I say, how much are you drinking? Oh, a beer a week. And they were actually drinking 4 cases and 4 quarts of whiskey a week. And they'd say, huh? I said, buddy, you just did the Pinocchio on me. But again, on the other side, what will the flesh not do to protect itself? What will the carnal nature not do? Dr. Roy Hicks was speaking at Living Word one time, and he was a president or chairman or whatever of 4 Square Churches, and he was like 85 years old, and he got done speaking at the pulpit, and he walked a few steps and he come back to the microphone and he said, always remember this, your flesh wants to take you directly to hell. And there were some more things that are said, and now is not a time to try and squeak by or whatever. America's at the point where we need to stand our ground as a church, as the power of God Almighty, as the force of God, and how we do that, we pray and we get together, and one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, and we can get people in back in the office that needs to be there in the presidency, in Senate places. It's so important that we do that. This man said, when good men do nothing, evil prevails. We're seeing evil at a force that I never thought I would see. Here I am, an ex-convict. Here I am, I go into prisons and I speak to people, prisoners, and I tell them they got to obey the laws or they'll lock them up permanently. I'm not afraid to say to them, I've been there. I've seen men shot in front of me. And I tell you, that world was a world of, like living in hell on earth for me for 38 years. I've never met a happy sinner. They can come off that way. And this is public knowledge. And one day I got a call from a man named Paul Molitor. And he said, would you come to my house? I got a problem. You know who he was? He was the manager of the Minnesota Twins and MVP for the Detroit Tigers from St. Paul, Minnesota. So I go to his house in Edina, and he's got a five-car garage and ceilings and a big house. And I come in and sit at the kitchen table with him, and there's a 19-year-old girl sitting right across from me, and he's 36 years old at this time. And he said, I got a problem. And he said, I said, what is it? And he said, she's pregnant. I said, that's not my problem. That's your problem. And he said he got saved at 16 years old, and he went to the University of Minnesota. He was a cocaine dealer and all kinds of stuff. He had other women pregnant in other cities. And he said, what do you think my problem is? So I had turned over to Ephesians, and I said, I know what the problem is, Mr. Molitor. He said, what's that? I said, you're a whoremonger. And he started crying. He said, nobody's. Don't you know who you're talking to? I said, I'm not talking to you. God's talking to you. I said, do you get that, Mr. Molitor? God's talking to you. And he said, what am I going to do? And this is God is my witness. I said, you ever heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And he said, but I'm in big trouble. I'm a sinner. She's sitting there pregnant, and I got a wife that's divorced and another woman in Detroit that's pregnant. And I said, none of that. You received this by faith. He wants to help you, Mr. Molitor. He wants to help you. He wants to help you, Mr. Molitor. And he said, do you think he would do it? I said, I know he will do it if you have faith. I laid my hands on Mr. Molitor's head, and he broke out in tongues because it was received by faith, and God's grace covered all the sin that was behind him. About a year later, I go to a big shindig for Teen Challenge in Minneapolis, and he was sitting at the table, and he had married the young girl, and his life was changed. Another time, I seen him out at another church in Eden Prairie, and I set my chair right up in front of him to see if he could do the Pinocchio thing, and he went through all the hell that he spent in drugs, and he talked to the men, and he was just as honest as could be. The Word of God doesn't come back void. But sometimes we need to speak the truth in love, and that truth is a correcting power. I'd rather be spanked by God than let me do just what I wanted to do. Now I'm going to quote you another verse. He doesn't chasten bastards. That's in the Bible. And again, you look at our life and what we want to do and the things we want to accomplish, even at River Valley with the church there and the spreading out and the going in. And technically right now, I'm scheduled to start a church in East St. Paul on Arcade Street, right in the midst of the battleground. And in the natural, I'm saying to God, I have no ability to do that. And he said, right. That's what he said to me, right? But if you count on me, I will lead you. I will help you. I will guide you. And I was laying in bed the other night, and the Lord said, I want you to help young girls that are lost on the street. And I said, Lord, we will do that as soon as we can do it. I was doing groups in Hennepin County, and of girls between 12 and 18, and I had a rule in there, if they committed a capital crime, they shouldn't say anything to me because I had turned them in. And this girl named Debbie spoke up. I remember her last name, and she said, I just murdered another girl. And she told me how she did it. She was part of a prostitution ring out of Rochester, Minnesota. And she said this to me, Mister, I've been bed with 10,000 men already at 15. And I wasn't saved at the time. I was staggered. I thought, what can I do for her? How can I help this young girl? What can I say to her? I had been trained up in gestalt therapy and Adlerian therapy and psychotherapy, and none of it meant anything to her. So I had to turn her into the Hennepin County attorney, and the feds come and took her away. And I look back at that, and I interviewed girl after girl that had, I can't even tell you the stories that I heard about them being abused and their life being screwed up. And the Lord said to me, I want you to, when this phase comes, I want you to help the girls off the street. And so we're going to do that. That will be part, and it will be Christian-based. It will be Christian-orientated, love-guided, love-inspired, so they can be healed from the damage that no doctor, no psychiatrist can do, but God can do it. When the song comes, we serve an awesome God, do you believe that? Because he's more than awesome. And I don't know what word I can think of, but he's bigger than most people, and he's bigger than what I can even make him. And we need to see the bigness of him in the church in America, because that bigness will change the trajectory we're on right now. We're the power. The kingdom of heaven is the power. And the message burns in my heart about the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that scripture in Matthew 16, Jesus, it's the first time the church is mentioned. And that's us. We're not a mystical body. We're real. You can't stick your finger through my head. You might not want to do that. But again, on the other side, I would like to have you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. One of the things about this service, I was told that there might be people in here that have been damaged from the past, the family, kids, you never know. And I was to say to them people, God never designed that for you. God never perpetrated it. He never ordered it. That was some from the demonic realm. If you've been hurt in church by anybody, that's not of God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. A number of people have told me they've got hurt. A number of confessions about being hurt by fathers, mothers, uncles, brothers. And again, all that needs to be forgiven. And God wants you to know that you need to go on and not let the past drag you back, but always press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let it torture you in your mind, because you're forgiven and you need to forgive the perpetrator. I've heard young girls say to me, how can I forgive? I said, because the Bible says so. God will give you the power. He'll give you the love to love the unlovely. And again, I had to do that with my father because he trained me to be a criminal, and I paid the price till I was 38 years old. And I love my dad today, not because of what he did, because he gave me life. And I've been able to affect other people because I was born. And if I had not been born, thousands would not have been saved. I never heard the word love spoken until this woman spoke to me. When I was 18 years old, I never heard it in my house. All I heard was fighting and mayhem in my house. And I when Mary said she loved me, I thought, how can that be? Her brothers told her I was Al Capone. Didn't he?
Yes.
We got a job ahead of us to close this dispensation down. We need to do it together. We needed to do as the army of God. We need to do it with the love of God. Love, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love bears up under anything and exercises faith in everything. This is verse 7. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith. Love knows no limits to its endurance, no ends to its trust. Always hopeful. Hopes under all circumstances. Keeps up hope in everything. Remember, you're to come in here into your church. And the church is to be edified, strengthened, and built up by the power of the Holy Spirit manifested through the gifts of every individual. You're gifted. You're gifted by God. And we need to treat each other as the gift that God has set us to be here on earth. You're called the gift. He sets us in the body as it pleases Him. We are on a trajectory, so to speak, to the rapture of the church. No one knows the day or hour, but it says in 2 Timothy, perilous times shall come. They're not coming, they're here. And how do we deal with it? Ha, 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 on perilous times, because I got the strength of God. Ha, 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 and the devil. Because we have the body of Christ, we're strong. Actually, the Bible says we're more than conquerors. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Now I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to prophesy. And you need to know what's going on because it's a gift of the Spirit. Father God, I yield unto the spirit of prophecy. Thus saith the Lord, strength, loving strength will engage the church. It will engage the church, and church will get stronger, not weaker, saith the Spirit. The church will grow in the dynamics of my power and my love, for it needs my strength to confront the things that are coming. It needs my love to stand out above the fray. It needs my power to stand out and be noticed by the world. My power, my love will engage the church at a level hitherto not seen before because of the time, saith the Spirit. Stand in my love, walk in my love, bathe in my love, treat your family members as treasures, for surely they are. And you'll see things change. You will grow. because my love is the greatest fertilizer known to the soul and the spirit. Thus saith the Lord. It says, follow peace with all men. And Father God, there's a number of people in here, I believe, that have been damaged by the past. And you need to comfort them, Holy Spirit. You're called the comforter. Come to them in the middle of the night and let them know that they're so treasured and so loved for you, by you, for you, and through you, because you sent your Son. For God so loved the world for them that they could walk freer every day, freer, 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 growing in grace, growing in the power of His might, strong in the Lord in whatever they do. Increase this congregation in a way that will St. Croix will take notice. It will be like flames of fire jumping out of the roof. The fire department will come and they won't be able to put it out because they're spirit flames, not natural. They're flames from heaven, flames from the power of heaven, and flames of love, flames of uniqueness of all the personalities that are in this church. For you've joined this church as a unique body, and it needs to propel itself by the power of God, through the gifting of God, into the powerhouse that it needs to be in this community. And we all claim it in Jesus' name. We are in agreement that church is continually growing. Growing in unity and love. These attributes will come from Galatians chapter 5. And it will be a powerhouse known here because of Christ, not because of anything we do, for He gets all the glory. I'd like to have everybody bow their heads. If you're here today and you don't know about Jesus, if you don't know that He loves you so much, that He would sacrifice Himself for you, if you're not saved, if you're not saved, I would like to have you raise your hand. If you're saved, stand up. You can say it here. She saved herself. Hard for her to get up. I'd like to have everybody sit down again. Me and Mary count it a joy to be here today and an honor to be in your presence. And I don't mean to be tough on anybody, but I know that we're in serious times. And me and Mary count it a pleasure to be with you and to be in your church. We're honored to be here. We're honored to know, and you're stuck with us forever. And I will have two eyes in heaven. And I will have hair too. And so, and teeth. And so again, I know that we are special. It was so honored to be here today. And Pastor Jonah and Amy and all the rest of the staff here, you're a dynamic church. The potential here in the sense of the unity is almost overwhelming to me because I can feel it. It's like I can reach out and touch it like this. It's tangible. Don't lose your love and unity. Protect it. It's greater than anything you own in the natural. I'm saying that again. It's greater than anything you can own because only you can take your friends and your other brothers and sisters to heaven. You can't take your fishing boat or crappies. And so with that, I would like to end with this note. Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're unique and a very special group. Now think about what I'm going to read here. Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, blessed and only potentate, the eternal, immortal, invisible, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, the Lamb of God, the glory of God, the Word of God, the only begotten of the Father, Emmanuel, Son of Man, Son of God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Power of God, the Wisdom of God, the Holy, Only Wise God, the Prince of Peace, Redeemer, Chief Shepherd of the Sheep, Great Shepherd of the Sheep, Great High Priest, Universal Supreme, Head of the Church, God in the Flesh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for coming.
I'm not going to add anything to that.